Tonight we are looking at can our losses be turned into gain, right? Let's look at Psalm 71. Let's turn to Psalm 71 together, okay? We're going to read some of these verses and talk about the losses that we experience in life and whether they can be, what they are, and whether they can be turned into gain. Psalm 71 is a beautiful psalm that talks about the Lord's care of us throughout our life, from young to old to everywhere in between. And there are losses that come that this psalm speaks to. So let's look at this together. I think I will read, and you just follow along, please. I will start. I might skip a few verses here and there, just for the sake of time. But Psalm 71 at verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. Verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him. There's none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe trouble shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And we'll end right there for now. Okay, so those are some mostly Psalm 71. I want to ask a few questions here, see if we can just lay out a few of the things that might seem obvious to us, but just share. What are some of the losses that a person experiences that come with old age? We'll ask about another question in a minute, but some losses that come with old age.
Health. Hearing.
Hearing.
Eyesight.
Eyesight.
Strength. Freedom, like driving.
Yeah. Freedom, like driving.
Increasingly, have more and more of your loved ones dying. You know, your friends, your peers. Relatives who are older than you.
Yeah. It increased all the people that, a lot of the people anyway, that you know the most about or certainly grew up with, and they pass on, and that's a definite loss. Any other losses?
Memory.
Memory? Yes.
Recreation, the
number
of things that you can do,
unlimited sometimes. Taste? Right. You have to salt your food a lot more, even though you're not supposed to.
I think taste is very bad when you have all the chemo treatment, like I have. I'm always getting a different taste, but in my mouth.
Yeah. I can imagine. I can't imagine. Yes.
So in other words, your cooking skills improve?
You liked a whole lot of food you never liked before, right?
Or you can't tell the difference.
I have a lot of cheese
because how about middle age? I'm not giving definitions, okay, of where these things begin or end, but what are some of the losses that a person might experience in middle age?
I think your skin changes, your hair changes, your eyes, your metabolism slows down. You can't
get wrinkled
fast. Your motor skills.
You know a lot of all this.
Death is always a loss, no matter how old
you are. Your memory starts to go.
Your memory starts to go, too.
Names.
Your family life as you knew it, you know, like your kids are growing up, like a little bit of a loss of control.
Sure. That
we had before.
Kids are gone.
I wonder if that we have.
Yeah, definitely. Children leave. A change, a loss. Different stage. Yeah. So we can understand, the Bible is a real book from a real God to real people. Right? And Psalm 71 is a prayer from a real person who experienced these kinds of loss and is expressing his faith amid many of these kinds of losses. Verse 9, for example, he's old when he's praying this prayer. He says, "Don't cast me off in the time of old age. Don't forsake me when my strength fails." So there he's identifying, and strength in a number of ways covers most of the things everybody just mentioned, either middle age loss or old loss, older age loss. Strength, so whether it be mental or emotional strength, being sharp, as effective and productive as you used to be or used to think you were. That might be, if that even makes sense. It might not, but it might not be the way to say it. You maybe used to think you were at this level of productivity. It probably worked. But now you know that however it is you're going to meet that standard, you're going to have to do it differently because you don't have the physical strength or endurance to do things the way you used to. And so you have to adjust. Well, what do you feel, number two here, what do you feel are the most difficult losses? How would they affect you, or how have they perhaps affected you?
Loss of
parents. Pretty hard to think of a loss more. Yeah, I mean, we certainly think of loss of job now, perhaps more than we used to. So that can also, that whole discussion in reality can fit here too, and think about our losses that can be turned into gains, and that can be a pretty difficult loss as well. Loss of a job. How would that affect you though? When you say that it's the most difficult, why? What about it makes that difficult? Sometimes we think, well, yeah, of course that's difficult because we've all faced that in some way or another. But let's just explain it a little bit. Describe it.
Well, the uncertainty of the husband is carrying health insurance for the family, or the wife is, and vice versa. So if the person that gets terminated or laid off loses their job, that uncertainty, I think that's a pretty big topic. You know, that's the uncertainty of finding another job, helping the family, or even the benefits.
Okay. Definitely.
Yeah, maybe you're talking about the loss of a, like a family member, or even, not even just death, the changes, you know, I think we kind of long for the way it used to be type thing, you know, like losing a parent or having, I don't know, just like it's like they affect you because you kind of, you miss what it used to be like,
You remember past blessings and enjoyments and are sad that you can't experience those now.
Okay. And it's those things that you wish you would ask. Every once in a while something will come up and only mother could answer those questions.
Her
recipe.
How
is that? Why the recipe she didn't have, but she made something so good and you can't figure it out.
And maybe regrets there of various levels, whether it be a recipe or something that would be considered more serious perhaps than other kinds of regrets.
Yeah.
When a person experiences loss, do other people look at that person the same way? Well, let's take example of a person who loses their spouse, okay? Her middle sister, mother. Is people going to look at her now? You guys even hardly know her, you've seen her a few times. But are people going to look at her in the same way as they did maybe a year ago?
You mean a couple versus a single? Or... Like,
did
they feel sorry for her? Like, is that what you're getting at?
I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, I guess I could be thinking that, sorry for that person. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'm looking at it the person any differently as far as the person themselves, but their life.
I'm thinking you may tend to possibly treat them differently just because you don't want to hurt their feelings more don't quite know what to say maybe wouldn't have the exact same conversations that you had before because you don't want to bring up memories that
And isn't that also really, that's a loss nobody identifies, but I think that also would be a loss that someone would have. Not only have they lost a loved one, but now they've lost, they've lost the kinds of relationships with other people who are still living that they had before. Because maybe if they don't treat them like they did before, they put them in the categories of that's a widow, or that's somebody who's, oh yeah, they've got that struggle with cancer, and that's just terrible, or this or that or the other thing. So you stereotype that person, and you put them over there, and maybe you've had that experience, or maybe you haven't, and now all of a sudden there's just something different about your relationship with that person. And the person who's experiencing that now has another loss. But unconsciously, you might be adding to the situation. As I say, number three, there's an example in the book I was using. Other ways is, how do you maintain your dignity when others see your losses as signs of true weakness, a weakness that might be physical or mental or emotional, or as a person, I use an illustration of somebody who maybe had, now they were in a wheelchair and they were mistreated while they were a resident in the nursing home, and people knew that person before as very strong individual, and now they're different, and so they just pity and compassion and sympathy, sort of, but they also are happy not to talk to that person about things they used to talk about. They had nothing they would have talked about those things with that person. It didn't matter whether they had two legs that worked or not. But now, just because of they got in some accident or whatever, all of a sudden, the other people, we're letting that affect our relationship with other people. And you see how the Christianity, or the Christian faith, allows us to remember there's a God in control. Right? And pain comes from that God. And while pain is painful and real, God is a real God, and He knows about all this. And I can relate to that other person over there who's in real pain, and I don't have to let that pain get in the way between us, because I serve the one God who says, I care about that person, I sent this pain, but that's not supposed to be a barrier between you two. It's an opportunity now for you to continue your relationship, maybe grow in a certain way, or you can just ignore that fact and talk about other things that you didn't used to before. But not to let that pain of that situation, that loss, become so large as to hinder your relationship with that other person. Well, what do you think, number four here, what can a church do? Let me look at some specifics and go back to Psalm 71 in a minute. What can a church do to influence people's perspectives on old age, or maybe on those who are suffering loss, or whether it be the empty nest syndrome, or whatever the case may be? What can a church do to influence people's perspectives on the losses that we experience?
Focus on eternity, the fact that, however tough it seems, this little pinprick in time, and that's hard to do, because when you're in that moment, it doesn't seem like the little pinprick, but it really is.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was Lady Zader Bible class or something, but somewhat recently we looked at a passage in Corinthians about the the momentary trial, how it's nothing compared to the weight of the glory that awaits us. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. Yes, focus on eternity is very important. Any other ideas? What can a church do to influence people's perspective on the losses that come?
I think especially if you're dealing with someone who doesn't have a Christian faith, you can try to get them to understand, what's happening, and that there is a purpose, and there's a time, when everything will. We don't understand it now, but we will someday, why this had to happen and why this.
That's very important. I wonder how helpful that message is, though, to an unbeliever. Because that is not true for them.
I've often wondered how people that don't believe, how they can handle something that happened to them.
Because God works everything together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. But that doesn't work everything together for good to those who do not believe in Him.
But if someone who hasn't heard the message yet and is called, then it could be a really big thing.
Right. I mean, it's not that you can't tell them that, but it's kind of interesting. You could tell them, people die. They can be a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist. They still die. They still lose their job. But don't you want this comfort? Let me tell you the comfort that I have, that God has earned for me and gives me. Don't you want to have that comfort? Let me tell you, this comfort. You could have it. I wouldn't want to, I'm not saying you are, but you wouldn't want to tell that other person, oh, I'm sorry this is happening to you, but there's a comfort here. You wouldn't want to give that comfort to an unbeliever, but rather you could say, this is the comfort the Christian has, and then they know deep down that something's missing in their life, and they're not worshiping the Lord probably, and they know that they can't really identify with that, but it sure sounds nice. And then if you present it that way, this is the comfort, don't you want this? Then that might be an opportunity for further discussion. Yeah, that's a good example.
Something that comes to my thought,
I mean, the church is the people. And as an example, the Ladies Aid, our Sunshine Committee, visits those for birthdays of 80 and over, as well as someone who is a a spouse that we make visits. And that can be uplifting to them at the time, for visiting the time spent with each other.
Yes, that's a good, very good illustration.
Along that same line, I'm thinking of the senior dinner that we have, which I think is particularly beneficial because it makes the young people think about the elderly of the congregation and realize that they're deserving of honor and someone to be looked up to rather than just brushed aside or ignored.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want to be misunderstood about something that I may have earlier. When losses occur to other people around us, they affect our relationship with them in a certain sense. And we don't want to ignore them. We wouldn't want to talk to someone who just lost their spouse and not mention it, not say we're sorry about that. You know, obviously, we want to do that. But you know, long term, we wouldn't want that to affect a meaningful relationship with them, certainly.
But there, too, when the church allows opportunities for people to help, whether it's sunshine or senior dinner or touch twice or whatever it is, it's not only uplifting for the people that are the recipients, but it's uplifting for the people doing it. And that's certainly a way to put your own problems in perspective, is we don't have to go very far to see people that are really suffering with all kinds of things. So that's always a great way to get a perspective on your own challenges.
Seems to me, well, it's true. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul describes us at the Christian church as a body, and says that when one member suffers, we all suffer, and when one member rejoices, we all rejoice, and so on, all the way down the list. We all need one another, and so remembering that fact, and that when one part of us is losing or has suffered some loss, and the rest of us want to help along with filling in the gap, covering the burden, carrying the burden, whether it be offering a meal to someone who's in from the hospital, or just letting others know, I've got this situation and will you please pray for me? And then actually read the bulletin or the prayer calendar saying, okay, family, husband, kids, we're going to look at this and we're going to use this as a little guide this week. This is important. We're going to remember these things in prayer, because we are a community, we are a body of Christ. That's certainly another way to do that. One thing I thought of, you guys aren't in on these conversations, this is about a conversation between a funeral director and pastor while they're driving to the gravesite. It's always an interesting conversation. Oftentimes, one of the many things I've learned is that a lot of churches don't do what we always do. A lot of churches really don't have funerals anymore. You've probably gone to funeral services of people that you know. They're called celebration services or whatever they want to call them. It's not necessarily bad to have a different name for it. But basically what it is it's an opportunity for people to ignore the loss rather than face the loss together. And we're there not only to remember the person who has died. That's important. But also to face the loss of that person and the reality of death itself together, and that pain, and experience the comfort that only God can give. And more churches are giving in to what the people want and saying, oh, you don't want to face death? That's okay. Well, the scripture has a lot to say about death and life. And so as a church, we need to make certain that we continue to face the realities and the losses that come with the comfort that God gives us in life. It's something you probably, Lord willing, you'll never ever have to face, the removal of a proper kind of funeral service here, but just need to be aware that there's a lot of churches that aren't doing that, and a lot of people that aren't doing that. And some people that you may know, the next person you know who's passed away is probably going to have a celebration service, and then you're going to wonder, you remember what Pastor Sorensen said. Now, that person, don't necessarily judge what that particular family is deciding to do. They may just be grabbing onto some opportunity the funeral director gave to them because they think it's kind of neat and interesting, and they do it differently, and they may not understand. But, we just got to be aware of what we're doing and how we go about it. Let's look at a few ways to keep our losses in perspective, because the title says of our lesson, can our losses be turned into gain? Yes, there are such a thing as losses. Look at these things, but can they be kept into perspective, even turned into gain? And before we look at these five examples here, I say, why should we keep our losses in perspective? We're talking about how, but why? Why should we keep them in perspective?
Because they are all part of God's plan, and we need to be able to accept them in a Christian way that they're part of His plan. So,
yeah, we would not want, that's a good example, there's maybe some other reasons, but we wouldn't want to dishonor the Lord, or we pray, hallowed be thy name, right? In all thy, which is our catechism explains, is to magnify the Lord in all his word, wisdom, and works, all the things he works out. And if you criticize anything from the weather to cancer to whatever situation, you are actually not hallowing God's name. So, yeah, we certainly would want to make certain we're hallowing God's name. All right, well, let's look at some examples of how to keep your losses in perspective. One is, these are from a book here, this list on the top. Thoughts, as long as I live, thoughts on growing older. Take care of your health at whatever level you are, at whatever level of health that you do have, take care of that so you can continue to serve the Lord with whatever strength you have that day. On some days, they're very different from other days, right? But whatever you have that day, serve the Lord with that strength. If it's a day where you're going to be spending most of it in bed, you're taking medicine or whatever, serve the Lord in that day. Okay, so now you've got more time to sit on your bed and pray and look at the ceiling and pray and remember things. And other days you can get out, but sit, take opportunity there. Number two, how to keep your losses in perspective, accept the signs of old age. And I had to chuckle because I heard some people comment, informal conversations when I came in today. It sounded kind of similar to what I'm going to read here in this illustration. How to turn our losses into gains. This guy is rather fun. He's also, if you can see the picture, he's also old, okay? I think he's probably died by now. Someone has defined socialized medicine as old people getting together socially and talking about their aches and pains. Some call it an organ recital. An organ recital. Alright? I like the senior citizens group where I'm told you pay a fine every time you mention one of your sicknesses or weaknesses. It is good when we are discouraged from complaining, and good when we discourage others from doing it too. The next time someone asks, did I tell you about my operation? Answer by saying no, and I appreciate it. All right. Maybe not every day, but I think that is a lot of wisdom there for us to remember. Sometimes we like to complain and grumble. It puts us in the spotlight. We like other people to, even if it's some, we prefer to be in the spotlight because we've done something great, but whatever it takes to get us in the spotlight, so if it's something bad or some sickness we have, at least other people will be thinking and talking about it. We should be thinking and talking about one another in a good way, regardless of whatever losses we may be experiencing at the time. So accept the signs of old age and ignore others' judgments about those things. Number four, give the next generation room to grow and develop in its own way, yet still based upon the Scripture. Big challenge, I'm sure, as children grow up and have their families, and you see things, and you would do things just a little bit different here and there, and it's a little tough. Some good advice. Obviously, still based upon the Bible. If they're sinning, you need to use your relationship with them to your advantage. And then number five, it says keep our losses in perspective by reading God's word, or if your eyes have failed you, and your ears or your hearing aids at least are still working, then you can hear God's word. Get it on tape, get it on book, get it on CD, or all sorts of ways we can use God's word in that way. Well, just a few final thoughts here. Some of our losses are our fault. Right? So many of them are not. Most of the ones we mentioned earlier are not, but some are. But whatever the losses are, we can learn from them and even perhaps overcome those losses. For example, think of the times in your life when you were too busy to share the gospel with someone else. Many times, whether it be the checkout line or whatever the case may be, you were too busy to really, there's an opportunity, like what Carolyn mentioned earlier, to tell someone comfort and wouldn't you like to have this? But you didn't take it, or you didn't take it in the way you knew you should have, or could have, but you didn't. Well, now is the time to do that. And Psalm 71, we looked at verses 14 through 16, says, I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. I don't know the limits of God's salvation, and so I'll go in the strength of the Lord and make mention of his righteousness and his alone. Some of you might think, oh, you lived a long life, you've figured it out, you're wise, you've got gray hair, you know how to live. No, I know I'm a sinner, more now than ever. That's usually what the oldest Christians say, that I know I'm a sinner now more than ever. And let me tell you, what I have to declare to you is not my righteousness, but Christ's. His perfect obedience, and how that's my only trust. And so you can do that. Or think of the loss of being too preoccupied so many times to really listen to your kids with what was going on and to teach them. Right? Well, now, perhaps they're still around. Perhaps there's littler ones around, both grand kids, that now you can not make up for those mistakes of the past, but you can learn from them and by God's grace overcome them. And as Psalm 71, verse 18 says, now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. All right. So no matter what our age or status or stage in life's progress, God calls us to serve him. And even our losses can definitely be turned into gains. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you.